Hey, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, I spoke on kingdom coming down, kingdom to earth, and how God's plan from humanity was always to have the collision of the two worlds, of the natural and the supernatural. And we see that in the life of Jesus. And we read out Daniel 2, where he's the rock, he's the stone cut out of the mountain, not made of human hands, and how he is that picture. And it says, in those days he will establish his kingdom, a kingdom that will never diminish, and one that will increase. And we see this throughout the parables that Jesus tells, with the parable of the sower and the seed, and the parable of the mustard tree, you know, the seed that grows into the biggest tree. And he says, this is what the kingdom of God is like. And I actually had a crazy dream last night, and I'm praying into whether I finish with this, but I really feel like the Lord actually wants to give people an upgrade in their thinking today. And the mind isn't how we get saved. We get saved through the heart. With the heart, a man believes, and it's accredited to him unto righteousness. But the mind needs to be renewed to catch up with what the Lord's done in our spirit. Amen? And we see that in Romans 12. He says, do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewed mind so that you can prove the will of God. So the Matthew 6 prayer of your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is there, is the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. If I'm not a car guy at all. Cars get me from A to B, sometimes C, that's a good job, right? But if I, every now and again, I used to watch that Pimp My Ride show. Anyone? Because they're putting spas in cars and crazy stuff. I'm like, man, this is sick. Like, let's just see what's going on here. But if I took my 1989 Barina was the first car I had, right? That did not get me from A to B for very long. But if I took a brand new car and I absolutely made it special, and then I took it to the wreckers to destroy it, there's something wrong. Your kingdom comes. So he makes us brand new. He wants to bring the new Jerusalem comes down. And so if I'm taking something brand new that God's like, hey, I'm going to make this brand new. I'm not just going to pimp your car. I'm not just going to upgrade I'm going to actually give you a brand new vehicle. He wants to teach us how to use it. He wants to teach us how to think and how to renew our mind so we can actually prove the will of God here on planet Earth. Is that making sense? All right. So turn to Matthew 16. We're going to go Matthew 16. I'm going to read Romans 7 real quick for you guys and James 1. They'll probably be our three verses. I was talking to someone the other day and they said, if modern Jesus, and I said, what does that mean? And they said, well, you know, like if Jesus was in 2024, and I said, whoa. There is no modern Jesus. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. There's just Jesus. If Jesus came in 2024, he'd be the same as he was 2,000 years ago. He doesn't change. He isn't shifting shadow. He's the same. I know what they meant, and I know what they were trying to say, but there is no modern Jesus. There's just Jesus. And he's the same. And so that is really good. That means the things that worked back then can work today. Because he's the same. All right, I know that's not deep, but... All right, so Romans 7. This is Paul. I'm not going to do a huge teaching on Romans 7. I've done it a few years ago. Maybe we'll do it again another time. But Romans 7 is not talking about Paul's current state as a Christian. It's talking about Paul as a Pharisee and under the law, how he used to think. And we don't have time to go into it today. But this is what he concludes, that in Romans 7:23, he says, but I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind. It wasn't waging war against his spirit, it was waging war against his mind. Go to Matthew 16, 13. This is going to be our main passage that we sit in. And I want to give hopefully some practical tools that can help us in our renewed mind. If a thought comes into your mind that doesn't align with God, just have another thought. Just have another one. Just go, oh, that thought doesn't, that's not the Lord. Okay, I need to have another thought. Because you have the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians 2 says it. It says, who may instruct God, yet we have the mind of Christ. That's flippin' epic. That's got to mess you up. That God not only gives us his spirit, but he gives us the ability to think like him. That's incredible. That means there are thoughts that you and I have not yet had about circumstances and situations in our life that he wants to invite us into. Yes. Into an upgrade in our thinking. Yeah. We need an upgrade in our thinking. We need to learn to think godly thoughts. Which is just good because his ways are just higher. So let's just go there. Let's just go into that plane of thinking. You know, I remember one of my, you're just going to have to rabbit trail with me this morning. So I remember one of my, favorite miracles of all time that I've heard of was this guy from New Zealand had gone to BSSM in America, to go to Bethel, and was skeptical about the supernatural. And at the time, God was restoring people's actual physical items to them in terms of their wedding rings and things that they'd lost that were precious to them. God was supernaturally making them reappear in people's homes. Awesome. I lost my wallet a few years back. Can it just reappear? No. But your car, yeah. We had someone actually at our old church, they had their car windscreen was scratched by someone with a knife, and they came out the next morning and it was brand new, right? But this guy said, God, I he had his laptop stolen, which he didn't care about, but he on the laptop was his thesis. And so he said, hey, God, I don't care about my laptop, but I want my thesis back. And he went to the store, bought a brand new laptop, brand new, opens the laptop, and on the laptop is his thesis. That messes me up. God said, I opened up the windows. No. Some of you just, that's a terrible joke. That messes me up because I don't expect him to do that. I'm not thinking, oh yeah, God's going to restore my thesis on my laptop. But he did. He thinks like that. So in that moment, we have a choice. If that happens to us, or it's you cannot believe it. Two, you can say, all right, I believe that. What that needs to do is it needs to give you an anchor point for your thought life to think differently the next time something comes your way. Otherwise, we just stay the same. I believe personally, people that are trapped in bondage and sin, it's not that they don't have a sinful nature anymore because they've been made righteous. They have a sinful habit. They haven't learned to renew their mind to the point of freedom. Anyway, Matthew 16, are you there? Okay, verse 13. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? And they said, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets, which I think is bonkers that the Jewish people of the day thought it could have been a prophet raised from the dead, more likely than the Messiah. But anyway, he said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter replied, you are the Christ. Which means, the Christ here means the anointed one with power. That's what that word means. Little side note here. There is, I get what people say when they say this, and I was talking about it with Dean during the week. where people go, oh, that man's anointed. That worship leader's anointed. No, you're all anointed. Because you have the anointed one inside you. There aren't super Christians. There's the anointed one Christian who's Jesus. And when he lives inside you, you're all anointed.
Come on.
You're all the same because Christ is in you. Now, he favors people differently because he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. If you find someone highly favored of the Lord and there's highly favor on their life, I guarantee you, ask them this question: what do you do in your secret place? There isn't like, Sammy's not more anointed than me because it's Christ in me, the hope of glory. All right, some of you. Come on. Sammy's up there. All right, here we go. So, the Son of God. And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father..." Yes, Lord. "My Father..." Did that just pop? Am I off? I'm on? Okay, cool. "My Father who's not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Right. So upon the revelation of Jesus, the man anointed with power, upon that revelation, God's going to build the church. So God's going to build the church, not you and I. Yes. That's a good day. All right. What's wrong with my fault? All right. We're back. So God's going to build the church. The gates of hell will not prevail against that. And upon that revelation, God's going to build it. All right. "I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven." Mate, if I'm God, I'm not giving the keys of the kingdom to some people. Like, I'm just telling you straight up. Like, but he's God, I'm not. And that's how he likes to do it. "He's given us the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then he strictly charged the disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ." Right? The correct translation, I believe, of that passage is, whatever is bound there, you have full permission to bind here. Whatever is loose there, you have full permission to loose here. So that means a circumstance or a situation comes in front of you. You have permission to either bind it or loose it, but it's you that has the permission to do that. He said, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is there." And sadly, so much of the church has flipped saying things that are not there that are there, and things that are here that are there. And we've got it backwards, as opposed to, hey, the life of Jesus and the scriptures actually tell us what heaven is like. So everything you see in the life of Jesus, everything that he did was a demonstration, illustration, model of what that realm is like. Go on. "From the time Jesus began," in verse 21, "to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed on the third day and be raised, Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him." Man, I really like Peter. Like, I know he gets a lot of stick, but I love Peter. Like, man, you've got a pair if you're rebuking the Son of God. But it's, man, I love that. I reckon God loved it. I reckon God's like, "Man, I love you, Peter. Be quiet, but I love you. Far be it from you, Lord. This shall never happen to you." But sorry, we're family, eh? "Far be it from you, Lord, this shall never happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." Mark 7 says that there is a way that seems right. Mark 7 says the traditions of man make the word of God null and void. Proverbs 14 says there is a way that seems right to a man, but it leads to death. The way set on the things of man without God are rooted in the demonic.
Yes.
That's just what the Bible says. All right, go to James 1 with me. James 1. James 1, verse 12. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. Just pause. Adam and Eve, God didn't childproof the garden. And he plants two trees. He plants multiple trees, but two trees that he says he got the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They were innocent. There was an innocence about Adam and Eve. But they had choice. So God doesn't remove choice from people. He doesn't remove the ability to choose, I believe, because if we don't have the ability to choose him, it's not love. Because love doesn't seek its own. So here Adam and Eve have the choice, one choice, do not eat of that. You can eat of everything else, but just don't eat of that one. The first temptation isn't hunger, isn't lust, isn't money, isn't the first temptation or the first question that gets posed in the garden is on the goodness of God. Did God really say? Then they eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and it says their eyes are opened. The reverse of the curse is your eyes become so oblivious, not in an ignorant sense, but you go back to a place of innocence and fixing your eyes on only the tree of life. Because we've eaten from the knowledge of good and evil. But when we eat from the knowledge of life, we see things from a higher perspective. James 1. Back to that. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life. Man, who just the day you stand before him, like, well done, good and faithful son. Those are words that we've all want to hear, and he's saying over us, my son, I love him, just the way that I love him. I love you. I have chosen that for you. God saying that. He's chosen to think that way. He's chosen to remove sin as far as the east is from the west. He's chosen to remember your sins no more. I don't fully comprehend that, but I want to. Let no one say he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. Wow. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desires. Some of your translations say own sinful desires. The word sin has been removed from most translations because it's inherently wrong in that context. By his own desire or own lusts. Let me just touch on this briefly. The desire for sex is not evil. Out of context of marriage, it's not right. But the desire for it is right. You were created with desire. If you don't think you weren't, we'll go to 12:45. I reckon you'll have a desire to eat. Each of us were created with desire. That word there, lured by your own desire, is a neutral word. It's neutral. It's not evil. It's not wrong. Let's take drinking, for example. You could have, there'll be differing views on this, but You could have one drink that turns into alcoholism. The desire has given in to sin. The true desire is to be drunk on the Lord. Food, gluttony. It's a good desire to be hungry. If you let that then produce, you give into it in a way, it can produce sin. You become a slave to that thing. But the desire is an evil. Does that make sense? Okay. That's what he's saying. Then desire, when it has conceived, so when that desire is not fixated, it's like the temptation comes, the desire then it conceives, because you've agreed with it, it gives birth then to sin. And sin, where it is fully grown, brings forth death. All right, next verse. Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming up, spilling up, or where is it? Coming down. Every good gift is coming from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Oh, that's good. So that means every perfect gift that you have now, let's flip it. Every perfect gift you have has been brought down from the Father of lights, so that it would be a first fruit of his kind. Adam and Eve, go back to Adam and Eve. The choice of what we are placed in front of us matters. So every encounter with God is an opportunity for us to think differently about him. I remember when I was praying for... Actually, I was sharing this with... I prayed for someone yesterday at netball who had a skin burn from ice burn. And I just was... He was telling me, and I just said, oh, be healed. I was like, oh, well, be healed then in Jesus' name. Just like slapped him on the back. A very blokey prayer, you know? And he texts me a screenshot of the before and after. He says, I got home, look at this is what it was like at netball, this is what it's like now. Completely gone. Wow. Completely gone. Right? I'll be honest, I wasn't like, I was just getting my coffee, going to netball, pretty tight. You know, like, but I remember when a woman we were praying for had cancer in the blood, cancer in the bowels, problem in her spleen. She smoked 42 cigarettes a day, 25 years of old, from Switzerland. And she came to us and told us everything that was wrong with her. And I was like, why did you tell us everything that's wrong with you? I've got no faith for a miracle now. Like, and so, and all the things I could think of were, I just need to fix my eyes on the blood. So we just prayed the blood. I've shared this story before. We prayed the blood over her. I saw her a month later. She was fully healed of every single disease, which is amazing. In that moment, that is a signpost. Yes, it's a miracle. Yes, it's incredible. And that woman's life is changed forever. But in that moment, I have a choice to level up in my thinking the next time something comes along. Small or big, it's irrelevant to God. It matters. So the next time I have the opportunity, next time someone comes and says, hey, I need prayer. I've got this sickness wrong in my body. Now, I've prayed thousands of times and also not seen it happen. But I have a testimony. I have my own history with the Lord that transforms the way that I think about healing. And so when someone comes needing a miracle, I have an anchor point. I can say, I've seen it, this happen before. I have to let it transform my mind to think differently, that I don't just go, oh, well, that's a bummer. Like, we'll see what the doctors say. No, I've got a testimony. I've got one. Take money, for example. $10 might be a lot of money. It's not about the value. It's about, like, how much money is too much money? I don't know either. The moment it becomes your God. For some, that's $50. For others, it's $1 million. For others, it's not. It doesn't have a grip on your life. But there's something comes your way, a bill that needs to be paid, a big, maybe it's not even a situation, maybe it's something you want to invest into, and that you do, and the miracle or the breakthrough happens. That is an invitation into thinking differently about the next time a bill comes. You don't have to worry, because you've got this history with the Lord that shows, hey, he's come through here, he's come through here, he's come through here, he's come through here. But if we don't renew our minds, we end up just staying in the same place, and we think the same, and we keep going around the same mountain. And we think, oh, God's just taking me. No, he doesn't tempt you with evil. But he doesn't interfere with your choice. One of my, you guys, some of you know Danny Galbraith. One of my favourite stories of the renewed mind and just how we think about God is, he heard this, seen this testimony of a woman in a wheelchair get out of a wheelchair. They saw it, we got it on video. And it just blew up. You know, just passion and desire for finding people in wheelchairs and going for it. So he's driving along, and there's this guy in a wheelchair, in one of those mobilized movers, and he was trying to pick something up, and he was kind of stuck on the curb, and Danny was in the car, and he turns around, he goes, this is it, this is the moment I'm going to pray for this guy. And, you know, and he turns around, and the guy dropped his hat. And he was trying to pick up his hat. So Danny goes up, picks up his hat, and hands it back to him, and they have a quick chat, and he walks off. And he's like 2 minutes out of the conversation, and he starts to go into guilt and shame and condemnation. And he's beating himself up, because he's like, I didn't pray. I didn't pray for him. And the Lord says to him, thank you. And Danny goes, What are you thankful for? I didn't pray for him. He goes, thank you for picking up my hat. He thinks differently than you and I. Our minds go to, I haven't done enough. I haven't done all these things. I haven't. Whatever, there's guilt, shame, there's condemnation. He wants to upgrade our thinking so that we prove the will of God here on earth as it is there. That there's circumstances that are coming our way, whether it's family, whether it's just the way you do life, the way you think about your everyday life, the way your rhythms of life, the way that you approach your job, the way that you do your parenting, the way that you respond to crises in the world. There are strategies and things inside of the mind of Christ to do with big problems and small problems in our world today. There are thoughts in this room. There are people in this room, I believe, prophetically, that have things inside of them that the Lord is like, hey, I want you to come up here to see from this perspective, and I want you to journey with me, and I want to renew your mind in such a way that I'm going to do something through you and in you and with you that will transform this world. I fully believe that, because the mind proves the will of God. The renewed mind proves the will of God here on earth as it is there.
Yes.
So you have full permission. If there's something that comes, like, for me, one of the big ones, because I came out of this, was suicide. Whenever I hear of a suicide, it just something gets in me where I'm like, I have full permission to bind that here because it's bound there. And I have full permission to loose life because life is loose there. There are things that come your way and we have to let them move us to the point of where, oh, that thing is illegal in this world. That is illegal. You've been given a gun to shoot the thing. But you have the trigger. All right, I'm going to share this dream. I was in a church building, and I was coming out of the church building. It's really fresh. This happened last night. I woke up to this. So I was coming out of a church building, and there were all these demons and thoughts and things like coming out of the church with me. And they were coming out, and I was like, oh man, what's going on over there? And anyway, so it was full on. I was like, I could feel it. It was heavy. And I went inside this house, this little cottage, and I'm in the cottage, and I turn, and all the walls are barricaded and blocked. But there's slats in them. So I can see out, and I can see what's happening on the outside, but I'm on the inside. And I have the feeling I felt on the outside. I have it. I'm having this feeling of like, whew, that is full on. And I'm looking at these various things, and they begin, they're things like lust and money and greed, and all these names start popping out on the outside, and it is full. I'm like, oh my goodness, what is going on? And I turn, and I'm like, what? I've written this down. This, and I heard a voice say, what can they do? What can they do? And I'm like, oh, but if they get in. And the voice said again, what can they do? And I turned and I said, where am I? And the voice said, you're inside me. What can they do? And as I turned, so I'm looking at the things, and as I turn, I see the Lord, and the house completely vanishes, and it's just the open field of where we were. And the Lord spoke to me this morning, and he said, Liam, it's inside of the home of me that you stay protected. He said, the way Adam and Eve didn't stay protected is they let what was outside in. Something comes your way. But then he said, not only do I want to stop you from letting the outside in, I want to let the outside out. Come on. The inside out. When I turned and I fixed my eyes on him, they got obliterated. Obliterated. Like they were just poof, gone. And I said, what was that? And he says, you do not conquer these things by fixing your eyes on them. You conquer them by fixing your eyes on me. The apostolic word means sent one. But it also was apostles in their day would be the apostleship would be they'd conquer a town and they would send that ship or that people group into the town, not to kill the people, but to culturize the people. In Romans 11, Paul writes about making Israel jealous through the Gentiles. And I really believe that we need to, the Lord, I fully believe the Lord is inviting us into an upgrade in our thinking. Amen. so that the will of God can have a track to run on here on earth, not just to conquer sin, but to see heaven come. To have strategies about business, to have strategies about education, to have strategies about the way we do church, to have strategies about the way we do life, to have strategies in our world, that we would upgrade our thinking. The way we do that is not by fixing our mind on the problem, it's by fixing our mind on Him. Because His thoughts are higher than ours, His ways are higher than ours, and He's the author and perfecter of our faith. And I believe He wants to take, I believe prophetically for the sanctuary, I believe this for other places as well, but I believe He wants to renew our mind and our thinking in such a profound way that we actually see our region and our city transformed, where the world would say, I'm jealous for what they have. I want that. I want what they've got. Because, not because of some clever strategy. I was talking to people the other day. They said, Liam, what's your church strategy? I said, I don't have one. I don't have a church strategy. I have a Jesus-focused strategy, and I'm pretty sure He'll build this church, because He said He will. But we've got to maintain our eyes on Him. And if we don't, if we shift from that, then He'll get the job done. He'll just find someone who's willing to say yes to that. Why don't you stand? Peter has a great heavy revy about Jesus. You are the Christ. A couple of days later, get behind me, Satan. Your mind is set on the things of man, not on the things of God. Naturally, Peter probably thought, well, if you die, how are you going to conquer Rome? How are you going to bring your military might? And he was like, well, that's just not how I'm doing it. I'm doing it a different way. I believe the Lord's going to release a grace for people to think about things in your world differently, to approach them from a higher perspective. You've been having thoughts about things, not evil thoughts, just thoughts that you're like, how do I fix this? How do I solve this problem? What do I do with my kids? What do I do about that loved one I want to see back in the kingdom? And the Lord is going to give you divine strategy and divine wisdom. Because he says in James, actually, he says, if you ask and do not believe, you'd be a double-minded man. He will give to you wisdom. Yep. And so let's ask for that. Let's ask for the wisdom of the Lord so that our minds would be so renewed. That is the journey with the Lord. That is the daily process with God, that every single day we get an opportunity to think higher and differently than we did the day before, because we can see Him differently because of our minds renewed about circumstances and situations that we're facing in our life. So Heavenly Father, I just put your hands on your head, everyone. Heavenly Father, I pray right now there would be a heaven's perspective on circumstances and situations that are arising in people's lives right now. God, that you would give us the James wisdom from above, that is first peaceable, slow to reason. Father, I thank you for every good and perfect gift that you've given us that's coming down from the Father of lights, that you are not shifting and changing, that our circumstances may, but you never do. I thank you for that, Father. I pray for the renewed mind where people have been bound in sin, where people have been bound in problems, where people have been bound in ways of thinking. I pray for a shift in their thinking today, Lord. I pray for such a renewed mind that problem that comes again and again and again, that they would turn their eyes on you and it would be obliterated in Jesus' name. That the problem would be obliterated. The problem would be gone. That it wouldn't have a grip on them. That they may feel the feeling, but that the problem is not theirs. It doesn't own them. They own it. Amen. I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Awesome.
Hey, we've got a prayer team. You can come up and you can stay standing. I'm not going to talk long. Prayer team, you can come up. If you need prayer for anything today, come up the front and get prayer. Hey, we have a, for those who don't